develop a warrior spirit. In other words, learn to live with pain and discomfort and continue playing the game even if you get hurt. 1988 was a special year for me and my family. It was the year we emigrated from Southern Africa to Australia. I'm an Australian citizen now. And one of the first things I wanted to do when we landed in Perth and we lived there for 7 months before moving to Queensland was to watch the Olympic Games. Unhindered. Because of South Africa's political isolation, because of their ridiculous policies of the past. Thank God that's all changing. They were isolated from the coverage of the Olympic Games. And one of the first, just because I love that sport, I wanted to watch, and I sat up late at night with this funny little television set we'd borrowed with an aerial that I was waving out here to try and get a good reception. And one of the events that caught my attention very much was the men's gymnastics. I watched this very carefully. I have a great appreciation for these men and women who are so highly disciplined and so fit, and they keep themselves fit. And look at the glory they get. Now, how much more should we keep ourselves fit for the kingdom of God's sake to give Him the glory? Now, I watched the men's gymnastics. There were two teams neck and neck for the gold. The Japanese and the Soviets. And the Soviets had finished all their routines and they were so far ahead, it was inevitable that they would win the gold medal and they'd already started celebrating. The Japanese had one man to go in one event. It was their captain on the overhead rings, the suspended rings. And it would need an unheard of total score of all tens in order them to just pip the Soviets. And that was an era where you didn't get perfect tens all that easily. And the Japanese captain walked up, he saluted the crowd and the judges, and with the help of the coach, he leapt up and he grabbed hold of the rings. He went through a magnificent routine. I mean, I ogled at this man's muscles bunching up with tremendous control as he performed his routine. And then came the dismount. Once, twice, three times he swung, and then launched high into the air backwards. He did two somersaults and a twist, and he landed perfectly. He stood upright and saluted the crowd, and the crowd was going berserk. The camera went off him and panned around the crowd. And then everyone was looking at the scoreboard, and up came the scores. 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. The Japanese had won by a fraction of a point. The Soviets could not believe it. They'd only got the silver. Then there was a disturbance at the dismount area. And the camera shot around to see what was going on. And you saw this little Japanese man writhing on the floor in agony. Nobody knew what was going on. And then the camera did a slow motion action replay of the dismount. And you saw this man up, round three times, and then high into the air, slow motion, double somersault and twist, and the perfect landing. But instead of going off him to the crowd, the camera stayed on him this time. And you saw him stand upright with a rigid face, salute the judges, and then an explosion of agony on his face. And he collapsed onto the floor, writhing around in agony. And by that time, the news had come out that little man had done his entire routine with a broken leg. He'd broken the femur in his right leg in a routine earlier that day, and he'd refused to let anyone know about it. Talk about playing hurt. The only person who knew about it was his coach. He refused to let his own team know about it in case they got dispirited and discouraged and thought, our captain cannot give his best, so why should we bother? We'll never win. And they gave their best still. He refused to have it bandaged in case the Soviets had a psychological advantage and thought, he's finished. Can you imagine the agony while he was doing that routine? But what was going through his mind about the dismount, and what would happen when he hit the ground on the landing. The pain that he was coming to, but he did it, and they won. Now, we know a man who did that 1900 odd years ago. He had the most uncomfortable life ever lived, the most magnificent life on top of it. And he kept his eye on the goal. For this reason, I came into the world, and that is to die for your sins and mine. He kept his face like a flint heading towards Jerusalem for that cross. And what was coming up, he was actually dreading. He begged his father in the Garden of Gethsemane, if there's any chance, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, yours be done. And what he was dreading was not so much the physical pain, but the pain of heart of being separated from his father by your sins and mine and the sins of entire creation, the atrocities and injustice of nations that came upon him as he hung on that cross, that cut him off from fellowship with his father. He knew it was coming, and he kept himself to the end, and he won. And because of that, we've won. Now, I want you to know that that man, Jesus Christ, lives in you and me. And that spirit of excellence and tenacity and keeping going to the end to win in spite of the hurt and opposition is in you and me already. Brothers and sisters, we have no excuse. All that I've built into you tonight with the help of the Holy Spirit is to this end. You can do it.